several times in the Bible. I'd like to turn back over here to Isaiah chapter 6 and read the 9th and 10th verses there, where Isaiah has already mentioned this before. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Now that's the prophecy that Isaiah gave. But I'd like to also show how that this prophecy was fulfilled in the New Testament. In Matthew 13, beginning with the 9th verse, Jesus is teaching a parable to his people. He says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now he just told them about the parable of the sower. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke and John, they have parables in them. Jesus spoke many times in parables. A parable is a parallelism, where you talk about something that people are familiar with, and you teach them a lesson about something that they're not familiar with. In the case of the sower, he told about a man who went out and sowed seed, and it fell on four different kinds of ground. Stony ground, fertile ground, thorny ground, and so on. And how the seed grew in the different kinds of ground, and what happened to it. And the story there he's trying to teach us how the gospel falls on different kinds of men's hearts, and how it is affected in different ways. But he teaches them that by telling them something that they know about. Well, the disciples said, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why don't you just come out, Lord, and just say this real plainly? Why do you use parables when you're teaching?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Now to those people who didn't really have the love for the truth, who were not really ready yet for it, it wasn't given for them to know. And so he taught these things in parables so that they couldn't understand. And then he explained the parables to his disciples in private. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Now think of that just for a moment. The person who has knowledge and who has understanding, he said he's going to be given more and more in abundance. But to the one who doesn't have, he said he's going to be taken away, even that he has. The ignorant are just going to get more ignorant. The blind are become more blind. The deaf, more deaf. He's just not going to let you come pick out a little bit and hold on to that little bit, and that's it. You're going to have to go all the way or none. He's going to take away from you what you have. "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." They seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," which we just read now, "which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross," that is, their heart is full of fat, "and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now Jesus was talking about some things that were the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to the multitudes, and they were Jewish people, to the multitudes, he taught them in parables, because they were dull of hearing. And in the 34th verse, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." Now just think of that. When he was talking to the multitudes, He only talked in parables. He did not tell them plainly the mysteries because they weren't ready to receive them. God's not going to give you his things until you have a love for the truth. That's just the way it is. That it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto them, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And so Jesus wouldn't explain it till the multitude went away and he talked to his disciples in private. Well, I'd like to read another passage along this line. In Acts, the 28th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse, showing you how what an important principle this is in God's whole scheme of things, how that it did apply in the New Testament. That's where the thing was fulfilled, was in the New Testament, and how that it applies even to us today. In the 28th chapter of Acts, we have the closing chapter in the history of Paul's ministry. Paul is a prisoner now in the city of Rome, awaiting trial, and quite possibly going to be put to death during this imprisonment. But while he was there in Rome, Luke records that he had a house, he could receive visitors who would come and go, and so many of the Jewish people who were not yet Christians, many of the Jewish people came to Paul and talked to him. And let's notice what is said about that. And they said unto him, Acts 28, beginning with the 21st verse, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. They said, Paul, we don't know anything about you. We haven't gotten any message from home, from Jerusalem about you. Nobody said anything about you, and so we don't know anything about you. We don't know anything bad about you. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, that would be Christianity, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying. Now Paul is going to quote from our prophecy. Whenever these Jews came and they heard it, some believed it, some didn't believe it, but they got into a dispute among themselves and they left. When they left, Paul says, well did Isaiah the prophet speak when he said these words, saying, go ye unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they that will hear it. So he turns from the Jew. He says the salvation is sent to the Gentiles, and they that will hear it. God's people wouldn't hear it. And of course he's not going to show any more favoritism to the Gentile who will not hear it. So we want to stress that. This principle, given way back over here in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 6, this principle is an everlasting principle that has gone all through the time of God's people, and now it is in more effect than at any other time, you might say, during the gospel age. So, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. How many of us may have seen and read things in the Bible that have such a great meaning, but it just doesn't have any meaning to us. We're not able to see it. We're not able to observe it. We're not able to hear it. And maybe it's because we need to back up a few notches and get a love for the truth, and then we'll be able to understand what he has for us. You know, to the average person, the Bible is just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. The Bible is not anything to be understood. It's something that, you know, you put flowers in and press them, and you let the book lay on the shelf, but you don't read it and you don't understand it. To most people, that's what the Bible is. Well, we're reading about the reason for that now. In verse 21, he says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now, that is regardless of the fact of how disobedient the people are, how dull of hearing, how deaf they are, how blind they are. Regardless of that, God is still, he is pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. We're not going to diminish the good things of God. The good things of God are just as good as they ever were, regardless of how disobedient the people are. So it doesn't mean that God changes his law or that God is unhappy with his law or his plan simply because man rejects it. God is just as pleased with that as ever. But this people is a people robbed and spoiled. Now he's talking about their captivity. The fact that they're going to be taken into captivity. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. Now, to be a people robbed and spoiled, this is a perfect description of those people as they were captured in their own land, as they were hauled away into captivities. And, you know, when Israel to the north was taken into captivity, he said that they would have hooks in their nose, be led away like cattle with hooks in their nose. They'd be snared like animals and led away. And the ones that were led away first were the high and the mighty. The higher the person was in rank or in position or wealth, that person was taken first. And the only ones left were the lowly people, the ones that were of no significance at all. They're the ones that were left. So this is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. Now, holes here would be a word that indicates caves or some kind of a refuge where they would hide from the invader. But he says you're going to be trapped in the places you try to hide. They're hid in prison houses, that is, their own homes, and where they try to take refuge become a prison for them, and they're hid there, and they're captured. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. That is, a prey is something that's captured, so they're being captured, and nobody comes along to deliver them. No other nation, God, or any other force is going to help them. They're for a spoil, and none saith, restore. So, this is the Babylonian captivity. And he tells them it's going to happen. It's going to happen as a result of your blindness, your ignorance, your idolatry. So in verse 23, who among you will give ear to this? Now, he just told them what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And time again, they have been told that if they'll just repent, if they'll just change, it won't be brought to pass. So he asked the question, who among you will give ear to this? Who's going to listen to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Will any hear these prophetic warnings? Will anybody listen? Will anybody turn this nation? Will anybody change this people? Well, we don't have any record of anybody changing or turning. We don't have any record of this warning being heeded. And, of course, we have other warnings and other promises in the Bible. You know, we were just studying Sunday about the fact that this world is going to be destroyed by fire. He's already destroyed it once by water, and he used that as an example for us to know and to realize that it's going to be destroyed again. Those who don't want to believe it's going to be destroyed again, he says, are willingly ignorant of the fact that it was once destroyed by water. So it's going to be destroyed again by fire. Well, we might ask the question, you know, who will hear? Who will listen? And he's not saying, now repent or I won't destroy it. He's saying, I'm going to destroy it by fire. And it's just a matter of our living the right kind of a life so that we'll be saved out of that great destruction. But as we look around, it seems as nobody will listen. Nobody will heed. Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who's going to pay any attention to the judgment day? You know, it's a pretty popular thing now to scoff and to mock, like the Bible says, that you're not going to be any judgment day. There's not going to be any end of the world. God's not going to come back and judge his people. No such thing as a heaven or a hell. God's such a beneficial and merciful God, he's not going to punish anybody. But the promises do not say that. So in verse 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? That is, God says, who allowed this captivity to happen? Who's going to bring it about? Who gave Jacob for a spoil? Jacob is another name for God's people because they were descendants of Jacob. And Israel is another name for God's people because that was another name for Jacob. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Now, what happened to them wasn't a good thing at all. The people who invaded the country were doing something that was wrong. They were robbers. They were spoilers. God plainly says that, but yet he allowed it to happen. Did not the Lord he against whom we have sinned? Didn't the Lord let this happen to you? He's the one that let it happen. He's the one that gave you up to be robbed and to be spoiled. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. That's the reason for it. They wouldn't walk in his ways. It's as simple or as complicated as that. Not walking in his ways. Not being obedient unto his law. You know, we can't get the idea that there's nothing to be obeyed. There's no law today. There is a law today. There is something to do. There is something to be obeyed. And those who do not walk in his ways, those who do not obey his laws, they're the ones that God will then cause to be destroyed. Therefore, verse 25, he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. Now this again is another description of their being conquered and carried away into captivity. And God has allowed then, here what he calls the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. Well, you say the Babylonians did that. God didn't do it, but God did do it. God allowed it to happen. He brought it about. As we're going to see in a study here, and as we've already seen, all of the affairs of the nations are controlled by God. He determines what nation is going to do what. And he causes one nation to war with another nation to bring about his will. And it has something to do with his people. What's going to happen to his people? Well, here he brought on a great battle that overran completely the country of Judea. And it has set him on fire round about. All around this country there was what he described as fire. It was a destructive battle. Yet he knew not. And it burned him. Yet he laid it not to heart. As this thing was working up and coming upon Jerusalem, it was fire all about, so to speak. There was this, you could see the destruction coming, probably over a period of years. He said it didn't bother Judea at all. He didn't know. He didn't lay it to heart. He didn't change himself. And so God finally let it ultimately happen, the absolute destruction of the people. Well, beginning in the 43rd chapter, we still have a few more minutes. We'll take the first few thoughts in this 43rd chapter of Isaiah.